First of Kings, chapter 1. Now King David was old and advanced in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he couldn't keep warm. Therefore his servant said to him, "Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin. Let her stand before the king and cherish him, and let her lie on your chest, so that my lord the king may keep warm." So they sought for a beautiful young lady throughout all the borders of Israel, and found Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The young lady was very beautiful, and she cherished the king and ministered to him, but the king didn't know her intimately. Later, this rather questionable method of trying to keep the king alive was to be abused, really, because some people try to make out that Abishag was actually one of David's wives when she wasn't. So when you try to do something that is maybe not very ethical, it always comes back and bites you. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." He prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. His father had not displeased him at any time in saying, "Why have you done so?" And he was also a very handsome man, and he was born after Absalom. Well, I think the idea is that David had never really restrained this young man. He didn't want to displease him by saying, "Why are you doing this?" And so this is what happened. Parents may think they're being kind to their children or loving their children by never rebuking them. But what happened? This Adonijah, one of David's sons, then wants to get rid of his father and to be king and push his dad off the throne when he's an old man. Well, he conferred with Joab, son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they followed Adonijah. What a shame that two of David's long-term friends, both of them now old men, Joab and Abiathar, at the end of his life turned against him. David didn't have a very happy ending to his life, and you can trace that back really to his sin with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah, that although David was spared the death penalty by God for that, God did say, "You will take the consequence." And this rather sad ending of David's life, I'm afraid, reflects that. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, and the mighty men who belonged to David didn't go with Adonijah, so some were loyal to him. Adonijah killed sheep and cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, and he called all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon, he didn't call. Then Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, now Nathan was the prophet who had had to rebuke David for what he did with Bathsheba and Uriah, "Haven't you heard that Adonijah is reigning, and David our Lord doesn't know it? Now therefore come, please let me give you advice, that you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. Go into King David and tell him, 'Didn't you, my lord, swear to your handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then does Adonijah reign? And while you're talking with the king, I'll come in after you and confirm your words.' Bathsheba went into the king into the room, the bedroom. The king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was ministering to the king. All a bit sad, really, because you'd remember the first time Bathsheba goes in, as it were, to David's bedroom when they were both a lot younger. And now she's doing it again, and I think the record makes that connection to show us how foolish David had been with her, just going for beauty while she was young and beautiful, and he was fairly young, relatively speaking, and now he's an old man about to die on his deathbed, and she's a much older woman. And there's a much younger woman, Abishag, who's ministering to the king. I think the record is making the connection to show us that beauty vanishes and fades, and to go and commit sins of lust just for the sake of passing beauty is so foolish, because beauty fades. Bathsheba bowed and showed respect to the king, and the king said, "What would you like?" She said to him, "My lord, you swore by Yahweh to your handmaid, assuredly Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. But now look, Adonijah reigns, and you, my lord the king, don't know it. He's killed cattle and sheep in abundance, and has called all the sons of the king and Abiathar and Joab, the captain of the army, but he hasn't called Solomon your servant. You, my lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you, that you should tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord after him. Otherwise it will happen, when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders." And while she was talking, Nathan the prophet came in. They told the king, saying, "Here is Nathan the prophet." When he'd come in before the king, he bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. Nathan said, "My lord king, have you said, Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? For he's gone down this day, and has killed cattle and sheep, and has called all the king's sons, and the captains of the army, and Abiathar the priest, and even now they're eating and drinking before him, and saying, 'Long live King Adonijah!' But he hasn't called me, nor Zadok the priest, nor Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, nor your servant Solomon. Is this thing done by my lord the king, and you haven't shown to your servants who should sit on the throne of my lord after him?" You notice how respectful Nathan is. He bows with his face to the ground, and he keeps calling himself your servant, and he keeps calling David my lord. Must have been so difficult for him when he had to come into David and rebuke him over the issue of Bathsheba. And it is really difficult to rebuke somebody who is, as it were, above you. And yet Nathan did that because he believed that he was really speaking God's word. And we can find the same strength likewise to witness to people of God's word, even if they are far superior to us socially, because we know, I have got God's word, I've got to tell you about this. David replied, "Call to me Bathsheba." She came into the king's presence and stood before the king. The king swore and said, "As Yahweh lives, who has redeemed my soul out of all adversity, most certainly, as I swore to you by Yahweh, saying, 'Assuredly Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place,' most certainly so will I do this day." Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and showed respect to the king and said, "Let my lord King David live forever." This shows, you know, he's on his deathbed and they're talking about the fact he's going to die very soon. And yet she still uses this phrase, "Oh, may my lord live forever." Maybe she was talking about the kingdom. Maybe she was believing that, well, may you really live forever in God's kingdom. King David said, "Call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah." They came before the king, and the king told them, "Take with you the servants of your lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride on my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. Let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel. Blow the trumpet and say, 'Long live King Solomon!' Then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, for he shall be king in my place. I have appointed him to be prince over Israel and Judah." Benaiah replied, "Amen. May Yahweh God of my lord the king say so too. As Yahweh has been with my lord the king, even so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David." Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah, and the Kerethites and Perethites went down and caused Solomon to ride on King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. Zadok the priest took the horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. They blew the trumpet, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon!" All the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth shook with their sound. Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished eating. When Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, "Why is this noise of the city being in an uproar?" While he was speaking, Jonathan the priest came, and Adonijah said, "Come in, you're a worthy man, and bring good news." Well, actually, he didn't have good news at all. Just shows how people want to believe what they want to believe. You're a good man, so you must have good news with you. I like to believe that you're going to be saying something that I want to hear. And this is why people end up believing what they want to believe, because they believe the person who's speaking more than the actual message. This is why you've got to check out everything people say against the Bible, which is God's word. Jonathan answered Adonijah, "Most certainly our Lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has sent with him Zadok, Nathan, Benaiah, and the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and they've caused him to ride on the king's mule. Zadok and Nathan have anointed him king in Gihon. They've come up from their rejoicing, so that the city rang again. This is the noise that you heard. Solomon sits on the throne of the kingdom. Moreover, the king's servants came to bless our lord, King David, saying, May your God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and make his throne greater than your throne. And the king bowed himself on the bed. Also thus said the king, Blessed be Yahweh, who has given one to sit on my throne this day, my eyes even seeing it. All the guests of Adonijah were afraid and rose up, and each man went his way. Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and he arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. Just shows how very quickly support just dwindles away. Just shows how fickle people are, how people will change just like that. Ooh, they all got scared now. It was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah fears King Solomon, for behold, he's laid hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear to me first that he will not kill his servant with the sword. Solomon said, If he shows himself a worthy man, not a hair of him shall fall to the earth, but if wickedness be found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar. He bowed down to King Solomon, and Solomon said to him, Go to your house. Well, he thought that by grabbing hold on the horns of the altar, surely God's presence was there, as he liked to imagine, and surely Solomon wouldn't kill him by the horns of the altar. And yet Solomon quite rightly doesn't think that the altar of itself meant that you didn't have to face the death penalty. So he says, well, if you're worthy, then you won't die, but you will die if wickedness is found in you. So we won't be saved by clinging on to any bit of religion, any bit of religious symbolism, any relic or anything like that. It all depends how you've lived. That's the issue.